From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Our Holiest Example. The text is from Psalm 16 and verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. This is the way to live. With God always before us, we shall have the noblest companionship, the holiest example, the sweetest consolation, and the mightiest influence. This must be a resolute act of the mind. I have set, and it must be maintained as a set and settled thing. Always to have an eye to the Lord's eye and an ear for the Lord's voice, this is the right state for the godly man. His God is near him, filling the horizon of his vision, leading the way of his life, and furnishing the theme of his meditation. What vanities we should avoid! What sins we should overcome, what virtues we should exhibit, what joys we should experience if we did indeed set the Lord always before us. Why not? This is the way to be safe. The Lord being ever in our minds, we come to feel safety and certainty because of His being so near. He is at our right hand to guide and aid us, and hence we are not moved by fear, nor force, nor fraud, nor fickleness. When God stands at a man's right hand, that man is himself sure to stand. Come on, then, ye foemen of the truth. Rush against me like a furious tempest, if ye will. God upholds me. God abides with me. Whom shall I fear?
His word is like up unto my feet.
To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus upon the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is happy to make this booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Christ's Abounding Grace. The text is verses 15 through 17 of chapter 5. The Apostle Paul has taught that the entire human race has been condemned to death because Adam's sin has been imputed to all his posterity. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is explaining the great contrast that exists between Adam as the federal head of the human race and Christ, who is the federal head of those who are united to him by faith. Because of his virgin birth, Christ did not have a sin nature. As Adam was the covenant head of those who are born in him, so Christ is the covenant head of those who are united to him by the new birth. Now Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of this message, Christ's Abounding Grace.
If you take your Bible and look at verses 15 through 17, you'll notice in no less than seven distinct ways and expressions, and that's quite a lot in the space of three verses, no less than seven distinct ways and expressions, Paul emphasizes grace as distinct from merit. Verse 15, he speaks of the free gift. Many of you have heard of the charismatic movement as the movement that believes in spiritual or miraculous gifts. That's the basic word that's used here. It's the free gift. Then he speaks in verse 15 of the grace of God. Then he speaks of the gift in grace. In verse 16, he speaks again using a different word of gift. And then in the fifth place, verse 16, back to the original free gift. Verse 17, he speaks of the abundance of grace. And then he speaks of the gift of righteousness. What is he doing? He's piling up these great expressions in order to emphasize the distinction between merited imputation and unmerited imputation. You see, he says, verse 12, we sinned in Adam. Now, however able or unable we are to explain that, that is a divine statement of fact. We sinned. All sinned in Adam. In other words, we are said to have sinned Adam's sin. But do you notice, we are never said to have lived Christ's righteousness. Because not only did Adam sin for us, but we sinned in him. The imputation of the guilt of that sin to us was entirely merited. But the imputation of Christ's righteousness is all of grace. It is a free gift. Later Paul takes this up in chapter 6 verse 23. And he says the wages of sin is death. That's what he's teaching here in chapter 5. Death entered because sin entered. Death came as the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now think again how this plays in to his argument. Shall the merit of Christ be any less effective in justifying his people than the sin of Adam was in condemning his people? Shall the just effects of Christ's righteousness prove less effective than the just effects of Adam's sin? It's impossible. The very opposite is bound to be the case. Unmerited imputation is the greatest guarantee of the security and the salvation of the believer in Jesus Christ. The divine wisdom was able to devise. There is a third contrast, and that's the contrast between ruin and redemption. Let me point out the details of how Paul shows this. Verse 15, he said, many died. If through the offense of one many be dead. This is one of the difficulties of English being a living and therefore a moving language. What it means is, if through the offense of one many died. Speaking of that momentary action of sin in the past, in Adam's sin, bringing that death immediately. We died in him. But then he contrasts that with the gift in, says the gift by or in grace. Verse 16, he speaks of judgment, which is to condemnation. Over against that, he speaks of a free gift, which is to justification. Verse 16, he speaks of condemnation because of one offense, and justification from many offenses. Verse 17, he speaks of death reigning. Contrast that with believers reigning. Now here's a contrast between ruin and redemption. And I just can't take the time to work out the details. But I want you to notice how he describes the ruin brought on the world by Adam. Many died. Now the many here means all. This is one of the strange quirks of the text here. I'll throw this out for you to chew on. In this verse, verse 15, many means all. Later down in verse 18, the free gift came upon all. All means many. That's just not as confusing as it sounds. These are words that are defined by their context. But what he's saying is, everybody died. Humanity died. So that we now have this strange situation that as soon as you're born in a state of death, spiritual death, with physical death already working, and unless grace enters, eternal death stored up. Many died. That's the ruin. Can you see the picture that the scripture's painting? God created everything and he saw it was very good. God took man and he created him without sin. He gave him a help meet for him. He placed them perfect man, perfect man, perfect woman, in a perfect environment. This was life. And then sin entered. And as soon as sin entered, death invaded the world, and death passed down through upon every single individual whom Adam begat. That's the ruin of sin. As the result, judgment, the word judgment is the word that gives us the English word crime. However, it's not speaking of crime here, it's speaking of judgment, a verdict or a sentence of a judge, which leads to condemnation. Here is the result, the ruin of sin. It brings death, disruption of fellowship with God, alienation from the life of God, and all the blessings of that fellowship. That's what sin brings. That's death. But then it brings the sentence of the divine judge that leads to everlasting condemnation. On account of that one offense. Do you see the power of sin? Does that not emphasize to you the awful potency of sin? Remember when I was in high school, our religious instruction course involved our study of C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. And not being a fan of C.S. Lewis, you'll not hear me quote him very much. I don't often quote heretics and people who denied the basic doctrines of the Bible. But I remember having to study that book, and one of his great points was that sin is entirely negative. Sin is the negation. But that's not true. Sin is a negation of righteousness, but sin is a positive, powerful, ongoing force of evil and rebellion and wickedness that brings in its train death, destruction, and eternal damnation. This is the most potent thing in the world. One offense damned an entire planet. Millions brought down to hell. Millions born in rebellion and depravity. Millions with their face toward destruction and their back toward God. And you trace it back to one sin. That's how powerful sin is. And that's the ruin that it brings. He traces that ruin even further and speaks of the reign of death. Death, like a mighty monarch, ruled rules over the man of the earth, a tyrant ruling his poor little powerless subjects. That's the picture of ruin. Now over against that, he paints redemption. Where as many died, he speaks of the gift in grace, which he explains in verse 17, the latter part of the verse, as life by Jesus Christ. You see, the answer to death is life. Where sin brought death, grace brings life. Where judgment, the verdict was sent forth to condemnation upon sin, the same judge, this is the glory of the gospel, the same judge who gave the sentence of death on Adam's sin now gives the verdict of justification because of the righteousness of Christ. Never think that in saving people God sets aside his justice. Never think that grace in some way or other is able to blind justice. God was every bit as just in pronouncing justification and righteousness upon believers as he was in pronouncing death and destruction upon Adam and his progeny. Understand this. The same judge. This is redemption. It's an act of grace that leads to the verdict of justification. What theologians call gratuitous justification. Justification entirely by grace without the addition or input of any work or merit of ours to any extent. And where death reigned, I like this in verse 17. See what redemption does. Death reigned. But over against that, you would expect him to say that grace reigns. He says that later. Grace does reign. But what he says in verse 17 is something so much more glorious. For he says, as if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. In other words, he's not only saying that grace reigns, he's saying that believers reign. What he's saying here is redemption. Sin reduced you to slavery. Sin brought you under the kingdom of death and darkness. Death ruled and reigned as a mighty tyrant, and you were the poor subject, absolutely powerless to free yourselves from its tyranny. But now, by justifying grace, believers reign in righteousness and life through Jesus Christ. In other words, we are brought from being slaves to being kings. Isn't that what they sing in heaven? Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests. God's people reigning because of redemption in Christ. So there are basic contrasts that Paul is working out here.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.